Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. A little bit later this hour, we'll talk about gentrification in thrift stores. Yes, this is a concern that people of means buy up a lot of the most desirable items at thrift stores, then resell them often on their own sites. The question is, what effect does that have on lower income thrift store shoppers? We'll get into that. And there's a guest we have who's even a historian on this issue of thrift shopping. I love all the different experts we can find about these topics. So we'll hear from her and other guests coming up later this hour. But we begin with the surprise announcement yesterday from the city of Pasadena that its historic 1924 architectural gem of a central library is closing immediately as a result of seismic concerns about the building's ability to withstand a major earthquake. The walls of the library have been found to be of unreinforced masonry. The question is, how in the world could this be uncovered after all the years of seismic inspections that have gone on with older city buildings, even an addition built onto the library? How does this happen that it's not determined that the walls of the building are of unreinforced masonry? Joining us to talk about what that means in the vulnerability of the building is seismologist and founder and chief scientist at the Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society, Lucy Jones. Lucy, great to have you back with us. Share with us what this means for the vulnerability of the Pasadena Central Library.
Well, unreinforced masonry walls are the most dangerous type of building there can be in an earthquake. When you shake a brick wall, the mortar dissolves, the wall comes down. If that is holding up the roof comes down, you kill a lot of people. It's interesting on the timing of this. This was first really recognized in 1925 with the Santa Barbara earthquake. And it was in 1933 when it happened again with the Long Beach earthquake that we banned these type of buildings in California. The library is built in 1924. The other civic center buildings were finished after that. And it made me wonder if perhaps those building types got changed because of this, and maybe the records didn't get kept, that the library had been different.
It seems so surprising to me that this wouldn't be uncovered. Is it that difficult, to your knowledge, to detect that you've got unreinforced masonry for walls?
Usually it's very easy because you see the brick, which of course you don't see in the Pasadena Central Library. It's all covered over. I would have guessed from the outside that it was a concrete building like City Hall. Just usually when you have brick, it's easily visible, and it's not in this one.
And we should mention Pasadena's City Hall, more than a decade ago, underwent a multi-million-dollar earthquake retrofit with base isolation to enable it to be able to withstand a major earthquake. That process took years, Lucy Jones. Could we be looking at something similar to save the library building?
It's going to need to be a different approach. What happened with City Hall, those are concrete walls, which also, if they aren't properly tied together, come down, and it's really difficult to kill a lot of people. Base isolation is sort of the gold standard. It allows you to really reduce the shaking going into the building. In a brick building, usually what's done is you put in steel rods to hold up the roof and tie the building together. And then you accept that the bricks will come down, but they won't be bringing down the whole building when they were to go down. I think it's going to take a significant study and work to look at the best way of preserving this building, because I think, like, you know, like most Pasadenans, my feeling is I want to keep the building, but I want to keep it not just until the next earthquake. I want to keep it through the next earthquake.
What do you make of the fact that it's gone through some very major quakes, and some of them with epicenters not, you know, too distant, that it survived those? At least we didn't hear reports of significant cracking.
Well, one, if Pasadena has not received strong shaking. We have not had an earthquake in the city since it was built. And yes, it went through Northridge, but Northridge caused very little shaking in Pasadena. We were actually the minimum shaking direction. The worst shaking that we have seen in Pasadena was in 71, because that earthquake was actually a bit closer to Pasadena.
Sylmar quake.
Quite a few brick buildings came down in that event. And the fact that it got through that means it's one of the better brick buildings without question. But it's just, you know, we haven't had really strong shaking events.
I guess I was thinking even the Sierra Madre or Whittier Narrows quake, and I know, you know, those are not, we're not talking Sylmar or Northridge events, but certainly closer to Pasadena.
Closer to Pasadena, but very short, by being smaller magnitude. Those are, Sierra Madre is like 5.7 and Whittier Narrows is 5.9. And yes, I remember a damaged brick building in 87 in Pasadena. I think that was part of how Pasadena came to pass its URM ordinance, which was in that time frame, right around 1990, that they said all unreinforced masonry buildings had to be retrofitted. And that was because of damage in 87. But even then, you know, both of those earthquakes took out chimneys, which are masonry, but the weakest structures, right? They can get really moving because they're pendulum, essentially.
We're talking with Lucy Jones, joining us, seismologist, founder, chief scientist, Lucy Jones, Center for Science and Society. Before I let you go, though, I wanted to ask a little bit more about the retrofit. You mentioned that you use steel to make sure that the roof is attached to the brick walls, and then you use other support to tie the bricks together. That's where we often see the bolts with the plates coming through the side of brick buildings. That's the retrofit you're talking about?
Absolutely. So those bolts are usually, they're steel beams or steel rods that are put in horizontally to hold that roof together. And then there's usually some sort of steel that's put down through the wall itself. Depends upon the construction. And, you know, brick is hard to drill in. If you go to Old Town, you can see some of those. I mean, Old Pasadena, there's some of those old brick buildings that are now restaurants. You can see the steel beams that are put in there holding up the roof just right on the side of the brick.
Yeah, essentially the structure is the steel beams with the decorative you know, facades and the walls in brick. It's an excellent point. So Lucy Jones, we love this Myron Hunt designed 1924 building. But it sounds like you're saying if it could not be safely retrofitted, there's not a case for reopening it to the public, that the threat is that serious?
We should not reopen it without retrofitting, but I really do think that there will be ways to retrofit it to a safe enough standard. Whether or not it'll survive every earthquake, we can't really say that about any building. But I do think we can make it be safe. And I taught my kids to read in that building. That is a gorgeous building. Granny and I hasn't been in it. We don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a way to do it. There are some really great structural engineers out there who have spent their lives coming up with approaches to preserve these buildings.
It's the first of that north-south access of the Pasadena Civic Center, which includes the City Hall, Pasadena Auditorium. These on the National Register of Historic Places for a reason. Lucy Jones, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us this morning on Air Talk.
Oh, thank you for having me, Larry. Good to talk with you.
Appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you as an AirTalk listener, your thoughts about the future of the Pasadena Central Library, which looks like it could be closed for a considerable period of time while this study is undertaken, according to what Lucy Jones was just telling us. We're at 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, City Manager for Pasadena, Steve Mermel. Mr. Mermel, thank you for joining with us. I know this is happened very, very quickly. When did you get the report indicating that the building was of unreinforced masonry?
Good morning, Larry. I got the report just last Thursday.
Wow. And was there any hint of this coming?
No, just a complete shock. We were doing a deeper analysis on the building. They call it Tier 3 evaluation report. As you may know, the building is coming up on its 100th year anniversary, and I wanted a report to show what improvements the building might need as we contemplate another 100 years, what investments are required. And then when they came across the fact that it's a URM building, it really shocked me.
Yeah. What's your sense of how this could have gone undetected? I mean, Lucy Jones talked about how it doesn't look like an unreinforced masonry building. It looks like it's a concrete building, but were there other ways perhaps this could have been determined earlier?
Well, one of the things I'm trying to do is to determine whether in the past we had any indication of this. Obviously, our number one concern was addressing the public safety issue and the operational issues, but certainly right after that is some research as to whether we knew this in the past, whether it was somehow overlooked. In 1993 is when the city adopted its URM ordinance, and there was an identified list of buildings, and this building was not included on that list. And so I'm eager to look into the records further to try to understand what occurred. It's largely academic because it won't change where we are today, but as an institution, it's important for this city to understand how it came to be that up until this time, there was no recognition of the risks associated with the building.
I know the City Hall has been retrofitted. We talked about the base isolation system that went in on that. But is there a thought that there are other Civic Center buildings that now need to be inspected to look for this?
Well, I don't want to cause any sort of alarm, but I have asked city engineering crews to check on a number of buildings that are older just to be certain. Obviously, within the Civic Center, we want to verify that the Civic Auditorium is in proper form. And then a couple of our older library branches we need to check on.
All right. We're talking with Steve Mermel, city manager for the city of Pasadena. You know, I know we don't know what would be involved yet in a retrofit of the library. This obviously an extremely important building architecturally, historically, in the sense of Pasadena and its, well-known civic center. But if you end up with a cost that's many, many times the cost of replacement for the building, would the city make the commitment to do a highly expensive retrofit to keep the building?
Well, I anticipate that the cost of retrofit will be tens of millions of dollars, judging from the experience with City Hall and just what we know about these types of projects. The engineering firm that we engaged, KPFF, has already done quite a bit of work about what it would take to shore up the building. I do think that Pasadena residents love their libraries. We have 10 libraries in the city. And people love that iconic Myron Hunt building. So I'm confident that when the time comes to ask the question about whether we proceed with saving that building, I'm pretty certain that our community is going to say, yes, they want to save it.
Okay. Even if that means going to them with some sort of a ballot measure to raise the money, parcel tax or something like that, I mean, is that something that you think the council would likely be open to considering?
Well, you know, our community three times in the past has indicated their support for the library by passing a parcel tax. And every time we go to the voters, it wins by a larger margin. I think the last time was 80-something percent. So there's tremendous support for the good work that the library department does. And again, people love this building. So I think there'll be support. But obviously what we need to do now is to determine whether we have a plan to fix the building, and what is that ultimate price tag?
Steve, what are some of the options for retrofitting? And I'm not trying to get you to commit to what it's going to be, because I know there'll be a lot of study. But Lucy Jones was talking about the sort of traditional retrofitting method for unreinforced masonry. Are there other options that the engineering firm has talked with you about?
Oh, I've reviewed some very preliminary ideas. I'm really not technical enough to probably do them justice as to what those solutions would be, but I would say that they have identified possible solutions. And you know, the good thing is, from an engineering point of view, there are solutions available.
And would they require completely removing the collection from the library?
I think that that's going to be the case. And we have over 350,000 items in our collection in the library. It's much like LA's Central Library that underwent repairs years ago. So we fully expect we'll need to move things out of the library. We expect we'll need to do that anyway, because we want to continue to have our materials in circulation. And so we're making plans so that we can continue to meet our customer demand. So we're going to have to access the collection. So we're exploring what other facilities may we use in the city. It might have to be multiple facilities to store our collection and then operate from, whether we just operate from our branches or maybe we operate out of a temporary facility.
I mean, it wouldn't seem possible that your branches would have the capacity to, among them, store the entire collection. But yeah, there's just, and then the question is, do you find a warehouse somewhere to take that part of the collection that there isn't capacity elsewhere? And do you have, you know, essentially runners, you know, taking the books out via appointment to the other branches? We can get into that in a moment, just to hear some of the ideas, again, not to force you to commit to what the plan is, but just to get a sense of what the city's dealing with this news that apparently took the city completely by surprise about Pasadena's historic, on the National Register of Historic Places, 1924 Central Library on Walnut in Pasadena. It's at the northern tip of that north-south Civic Center collection of historic buildings, City Hall, Pasadena Center as well, the Pasadena Auditorium, which is historic, and of course the newer convention center that was built around it. I'd like to hear from you about your favorite memories of Pasadena's Central Library and your thoughts on the effort here to preserve it and to make it safe for people to go back into the library. This is a huge community resource. We're at 866-893-KPCC, and I know people who don't even live in Pasadena who would go to visit that library. It is a regional draw. 866-893-KPCC. When we come back, the executive director of Pasadena Heritage, the preservation organization, Sue Mossman, with us when we come back in 1 minute. You just heard Broadway mentioned and theater in that promo. And the word comes today in New York from Governor Andrew Cuomo that they're looking to Broadway performances beginning sometime in September or soon after. Full capacity shows with performances are expected to start the middle of September for those of you that are lovers of Broadway. We're talking right now about lovers of Pasadena's historic library, the Central Library building. We'll get back to the city manager, Pasadena, Steve Mermel, in a few minutes to talk about how they're going to handle allowing people access to the collection that's now in the closed Central Library and what this means for the hours and staffing at the branch libraries in Pasadena. But with us is Sue Mossman, Executive Director of Pasadena Heritage, a historic preservation nonprofit for the city of Pasadena. Sue, thank you for joining us this morning. Just your thoughts about the significance of this announcement.
Well, thanks for having me, Larry, and excuse my gravelly voice. That's me these days. I would say it came as such a shock to us, along with all of the community, that this information had suddenly come to light, that we weren't aware of it, and that certainly includes Pasadena Heritage. But this building is truly one of the most iconic structures in Pasadena and probably one of the most beloved places in the city. So while lots of questions can be asked about why we didn't know earlier, how could this not have been on the list of URM buildings, I think the point at the moment is, okay, now we know it. Exactly what do we know? Where are the problems? What are the potential solutions? And how do we go forward and get this done? Because certainly I'm thrilled to hear both Lucy and Steve Mermel sound like true preservationists today. We need to keep this building and we need to bring it back into public use just as soon as we can do that. So that's something Pasadena Heritage wants to help and support. And we are here to do whatever we can to make this happen.
I assume, Sue, that your organization is also going to be watching very closely to see what sort of aesthetic effect any retrofit might have on the building.
Well, that's always a challenge. And because this is such an important historic place, that becomes probably a higher item on the priority list. But public safety needs to come first, and we know that's the city's priority. But I think we did a magnificent job with City Hall. We made some difficult choices. I sat on that task force, and we looked at every aspect of the building and how do we do this and how do we protect as much historic fabric as possible. But there were some changes, and they were fine, and they've now become part of City Hall. I don't think City Hall's space isolation system, which Lucy referred to as the gold standard, is probably the right solution for the library. The library's a smaller scale building, has different issues and a different construction system. But I know there are solutions, and I haven't seen the report yet, nor am I a structural engineer. But I do think there are areas where you can add the right seismic strengthening without impacting the aesthetics of the library.
Sue Mossman, Executive Director of the preservation nonprofit Pasadena Heritage. William in Tahunga, your memories of Pasadena's Central Library.
Hi, Larry. You know, when I was 5 years old, my mom took me there. I got my first library card, went to the children's library on the first floor. But, you know, it has the open staircase in the middle. And I used to love climbing up one or two flights of stairs. And when my mom would pass by, I'd yell down, looky, I'm up here, and giggle. And I took my kids there at the same age. And they spontaneously did the same thing. It's one of those places where families just thrive. And those are some of my kids' best memories. And
yeah.
Grandchildren did the same thing when they went there.
Yeah, the multi-generational appeal. Again, much like the L.A. Central Library, which, of course, endured the just awful fire, which did so much damage to both the collection and the building itself, and the multi-year rehab of that building and replacement. You know, some of the things were not, of course, replaceable, but trying to rebuild the collection there. So many people had their personal stories of what that space made, because, you know, libraries, you know, particularly ones of architectural and historical significance, it carries great symbolism. We know the educational importance. We know about the importance of, you know, kids. I would often, as a kid, go to the libraries in Inglewood and Hollywood, where I grew up, and, you know, after school as a latchkey kid, sit there and do homework and read. And, you know, it's a huge part of my childhood. 866-893-KPECC, the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Matt in Pasadena says, right down the street on the same side of Walnut to the east, there's a large vacant office building. Could that be utilized temporarily, commercial space like that, to facilitate access to the books? Matt, I appreciate it very much. City Manager Steve Mermel, I don't know about that specific site's availability, but are you looking at the potential of a large site where you could put most of the collection and make it somehow accessible?
It's still very early on, but we are looking at what sites we may be able to use. I suspect we'll need multiple sites to store the collection. And if we wanted to open up a building for patrons to come in to pick up items. And so it's still so very early, but we are very focused on having an operations plan so that the people that enjoy our collection will be able to continue to do so.
And so let's talk about what's happening with the branch libraries that I know are just in the process of reopening as we move into the yellow tier for COVID-19. For the staff that works at Central Library, are you looking at deploying them at the branches, and are you looking at beefing up the branch collections with some of what's at Central?
Yes, to both of those. We're looking at extending hours at the branch libraries and transferring staff to the branches to help support that extended operation, and then identifying the items in the collection that are more frequently checked out and having those readily available at the branches.
All right. What about security concerns with the library? Because if it is going to be closed 24/7, obviously, there are concerns about the safety of both the building and the collection. Is that something you can talk about, how it's going to be secured during this period of determining what retrofit will happen?
Well, you're absolutely right. We do need to secure the building. We can't have people going in there. Heaven forbid someone were to start a fire or
something.
And so making sure that there is around-the-clock security, that the building can't be accessed from the outside, again, is a very high priority. On Thursday, it was the shock of we're going to have to close the library. And since then, it's been all these little details that are extremely important that come to mind. All these things have to be taken care of. They have to be put in place pretty soon, if not immediately, to safeguard the building and the collection.
As if you didn't have enough on your plate, right?
Well, there's always something in the city.
Yeah. Steve Mermel, thank you very much for coming on, spending so much time with us to talk about this beloved building and its future. We appreciate it. And can we check back in with you as you get a little bit deeper into this and look at the options?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We understand that a lot of people are interested in it, and we appreciate that.
Steve Mermel, City Manager of Pasadena. Our thanks to Sue Mossman, Executive Director of Pasadena Heritage, and Lucy Jones, seismologist and the head of the Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. We'll look to the future to see what happens. The 1924 Myron Hunt designed architectural gem of the Pasadena Central Library. Coming up on Air Talk, thrifting and what we're seeing in the way of purchasing patterns of the well-to-do or better off when it comes to thrift stores, and what kind of an effect that might have for lower-income shoppers at thrift stores around Southern California. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC, and we'll be back in 90 seconds.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.